Good morning. Well, again, I want to wish you God's blessing, His grace, His peace, His love, His kindness upon your life. I've been very, very blessed with your response. I've been very blessed with your heart, hearing many of your hearts, been able to visit with you. You've made me feel, I guess you could say, you made me feel like I was a part of you. Sometimes when a teacher or a preacher comes to a church, young people don't want to talk much with them because they put them almost in a higher class. And sometimes the preacher does that to himself, and sometimes it's the audience that do it. And well, I felt very, very blessed that we were able to visit with, a number of you and just freely share. And so that's been a tremendous blessing. I've been able to see God at work in your lives, and your testimonies have declared that. So it's been a tremendous blessing. I can almost not believe it. If my watch didn't say Friday, the 12th, I probably would say that I don't believe it, but I guess I've learned to trust my watch, and it's Friday, and this is the last session for me. And maybe the last Bible school too, I don't know. The Lord only knows that. Tomorrow is another day, and the next day is another day, and so the Lord might see me fit to go home, and that would be a good thing for me to go home and be with my Lord. But I know that it would also be a good thing for me to stay, to serve and to bless others. Just the way of starting this morning, I was very blessed by last night's message. Who can identify with that one? Yeah, amen. I felt Brother Moses' heart, and I saw his heart, and he wouldn't have had to ask twice for me to get up. I was about ready to stand up in the middle of the service, just get on my feet and say, "Well, I'm with you, brother." Moses wasn't preaching legalistic. He was preaching righteousness, godliness, something this world wants nothing to do with. See, if we were to look at facts, and I agree with what one brother said to me. He goes, "I hope we have Moses around for a good long while yet, but He is getting older," and I felt that last night he was handing a torch to us young people and saying, "Okay, I'm not going to be around very long. Is there someone that's going to stand up and stand for the truth of God?" I trust you all stood up. I saw everyone stand up. I sat in the back there and I looked around a little bit and I didn't see anyone sitting. Well, a few people that were sitting, I think they had babies on their laps and stuff like that. But I saw all of you stand, and I trust that you stood from the bottom of your heart. God is the one that looked down, and He saw you stand, whether you did it out of hypocrisy or if you did it out of reality. I have shared several times with you this week that times are only getting worse. I'd like to put a little bit of flesh around those statements this morning. I would really like to tell you things are getting better. I can't do that. If I'm honest from the Word of God, I can't say that times are getting better. And so this morning, I would like to talk a little bit about the present state we are in Christianity and also in the world, the way I see it, I guess, and then what is to come yet for maybe you and maybe your children. I don't know. I don't have these times figured out. But something I see very consistent in the Bible, that trouble is on its way. So if you bear with me a little bit as we go through this, and at the end I'm hoping to lift your spirits a little bit to rise to the challenge to go through these difficult times, because there is an end in view. There is a reward for you to receive. But before we do that, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We are thankful this morning for Your grace that You have provided for us to be saved, We're thankful, Father, that You've provided the grace for us to walk in this dark world that we live in. Though men reject truth and reality, Father, we understand from Your Word that You are truth and You are reality. And Father, that's the direction we want to go. We want You to compass our life, Father. We want You to guide us through this time that we're living in. And Father, we do need mercy and grace continually. So I thank You, Father, that You want to give it to us. And I thank You, Father, for these young people. I do pray, Lord, that You would continue to pour Your grace upon them as they depart from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. If you are a regular Bible student and you read your Bible, I don't think it would take you very long to figure this out, that times are not on the Christian side. And neither are the plans and the government and anything to do with that. They're not on the Christian side. Periodically now, I still now periodically listen to a radio station. I don't recommend it. But I worked in a kitchen shop when I first moved into to Niagara, and he had the Christian radio station on all the time. And it was a radio station, WDCX, and there you saw some of these patriotic people standing up for what they would call truth. And a lot of it was truth, like abortion and other things like that. And they didn't want the government to bring in certain types of rules and stuff like that. And so they stood up against these things. And I thought that was pretty noble. You know, they wanted to stand for some truth and so forth. But as I listened to those types of radio stations for a year there in the kitchen shop there, I found out that their voice was dying down too. It wasn't as effective. Because it seemed like Christians wanted to compromise. And so their voice wasn't so loud. And it got quieter. And the other day, and like I said, I don't encourage this. I don't think there's much on there for a Christian, what they have to present anyways. But the other day as I was driving, there was a lawyer, a Christian lawyer that comes on, I forget his name, and he comes on, I figured, well, I'd like to hear a little bit what he is talking about. He always seems to be barking at the president for some thing or another. And so I figured, well, I'm going to listen to him a little bit and see what he's got to say. And it seemed that he had quieted down too. He used to be a great man that stood up against abortion and stuff like that. And it seemed like he had quieted down too a little bit. And it just brought the reality more home to me that's what the world's trying to do to Christianity. They want to shut them up. So, I want you to be able to go out here knowing that it's not fun and games out there. You know, you had a lot of good opportunity this week to build friendship and to laugh and to cry. And I met with a single sister here the other day, and she got converted, and what a blessing that was, you know, a heart refreshed, a heart made new, and so forth, and that was a blessing. But when you step out of those doors, you have to prepare yourself for what you're going to be facing. You have to set in your mind that, okay, I'm going to be facing a negative atmosphere against me and against everything that I believe. So this morning, we just want to paint a picture for you, starting in chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to talk a little bit about the Laodicean church. Read with me there. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One thing I noticed here in just reading, that Jesus is talking to a church. He calls them a church. So we can say this is a Christian church. He's not talking to unconverted people, though when you read it, you might think, well, they look, sure sound, they were unconverted, but he calls them a church. And there seems to be enough of the Spirit of God in there for him to write. And so what he does at the end, he says, I stand by the door and knock. He's knocking on the door of the church here. It seems to me that Jesus Christ has been pushed out of the church, and he's standing and knocking and wanting to get back into the church. And he's saying, if any man open the door, I will come and sup with him. Here already, this is not even 100-150 years after Christ, we have already this a letter like this where the church has seemed to put Christ outside. He calls them lukewarm. He says, you're not cold, you're not hot. They're saying, hey, we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. But really, they were blind. They were wretched. They were miserable. Because they had put Christ outside of the church. Already, this is only about 100 years after Christ. Not even. I see that today. I see churches saying, well, we have everything we need. We got all our programs. Everything seems to be going well. Yet there's no life. They don't know that they are actually miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Many churches are like that in this state today. Turn with me to Titus or to Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy. I've done a little bit of history reading, and I've heard messages on history, church history, and so forth. And you have seen this stepping down slowly over time, and you see a little bit of a spurt up, and it's going down and down. But in the last several years, and some of the brothers can, if you can share, that's different, then I'd be glad to hear it. But I haven't seen the up. We've seen spurts of revival and conversions here and there, but on a general level, it just seems to be going like this with the church. It just seems to be going downhill more and more and more. Jude, before we read here, Jude said that men had crept in unawares. In his time already, false prophets had crept in unawares. And if you want to identify a false prophet, what I believe Jude was trying to get these people to see, that a false prophet is going to, when they come in, they might sound good, but their ultimate end is to have you indulge your flesh in fleshly lust. It's going back to a fleshly atmosphere, to a fleshly appetite. A false prophet seems to be doing that very much. He come in and it sounds very good. You know, and people might say, hey, this guy's got some things to teach us. But it seems like the end result is to go back and fulfill the lust of the flesh, according to what I understand Jude to be saying there. People don't know how to necessarily to identify false prophets these days, but it seems to be if you follow someone like that along, you can say, hey, this looks like it's going right back to where I came out of. They'll lead you back into bondage. And we see there already that Jude was saying false prophets have crept in unawares. In the midst there, Jude, you figure that these apostles are still alive. And why is this still happening? But there already, Satan was trying to weave his way in to the church. Paul said this to Timothy, Second Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now let's just stop there. With your own eyes, can you identify that you've already seen that? Can you say, yeah, I have seen that already? Men that are lovers of them, their own selves. They love their selves. They just like to indulge themselves into the lust of the flesh. Covetous. I tell you, in our community there where we live, if you are some of the richest people in our community are the church people, the Old Colony Mennonites. They're the richest people. And you know how they get their riches? Covetousness. It's already in that whole system. Everyone is trying to outdo the next. It's a heart of greed. And they won't stop until they're the best. And they'll go that way. The interesting thing to me, it's only the poor that are coming out of there. The rich are staying, the poor are coming out. Boasters. People that are boastful, very proud. Blasphemers. You know, I think of, now this is not necessarily in, so I haven't heard this so much in the Church of Jesus Christ, in a general sense, but we have there in rock music today that I saw the other, it's about a year ago now, that people actually, rock musicians, they get up on stage and they'll take the Bible and they'll read to their audience and then they'll lift it up and rip it into pieces and laugh and mockery and blasphemous things from the Word of God. That's what's happening today already. There's a video out there, and I encourage you never to see it, you young people. And I saw a little bit about it, of it, and I put it away. And the brother that had it, he couldn't stand to see any more of it. But it just shows you the gruesomeness of what rock music and soft rock and all that thing is, all that, where it's going. It's going to completely away from God, and it wants to take our emotions away too. And that's where it begins to start. You know, I was listening the other day. I just so happened to come across some music that someone was listening to, and I decided I was going to listen to it, and here I was, and it almost, and it was, you know, a lot of Christian lyrics to it. I have a song here that they sang. I really appreciate the song. So I have the lyrics here with me. But as I was listening to it, I felt that my emotions were going like this. Whoa, I was feeling really fine. I was feeling really nice. It was just very uprousing. I thought, wow, this is nice. But then I took it off and I'm like, now I'm in reality. My emotions just sank right down to the bottom. I thought, wait a minute. What would I do if someone all of a sudden comes and sings that is not on tune and is just worshiping God out of a pure heart? You know, would that cause my heart to worship too? And so we see that it's all about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And they're catering to it. The Christian rock industry is catering to this thing. And it's actually what it's doing. It's taking our hearts and it's trying to bring you away from solid, holy, righteous things. Slowly gearing, and it's drawing our heart, and soon, before you know it, we're going downhill with ZZ Top and AC/DC, and we're just mixed up with those, and they're not alive anymore. They were alive in my age, so I hope that you don't know who they are. They were devil worshippers and so forth. But it starts here, and it makes its way up more and more and more to this place where it's not even Christian anymore. And I heard the other day, country song, someone told me there was a country music song talking about being born again. I thought, whoa. And it's a love song to a girl using Christian words in their song. And people say, well, say, look, it's got born again in it. Okay. That's what makes it a holy song. Then I tell you, we got a lot of devil worship because they use a lot of the Bible too. That made Hitler a Christian too. He quoted the Bible. He thought the Bible was good. No, we are facing times that that the world wants to take our hearts away from everything that is to do right. And we've already seen here in Timothy, Paul says that dangerous times are coming. Well, we are in dangerous times. Everything that we're going to read here, I would say we are facing. It's right at our door. In a lot of churches, it's already inside. And guess what's happening? Christ is being brought out. Because these things have to take the place of Christ. Because Christ can't stay there. So what's happening? These things are forcing themselves in, and people are getting carried away with emotion. And Christ is there saying, but it's not about emotion, it's about reality. And Christ is like, I can't be with these people because they're worshiping their emotion, which will lead them to worshiping themselves, lovers of their own selves. And so Christ is making His exit out of the church. It's all about pleasure. It's all about fun. You know the word fun is not even found in the Bible. Joy, peace, rejoicing is found in the Bible. In the context of having joy with God and rejoicing in God and having peace with my Lord. I laugh, you know, I laugh, I do that. And if someone does something humorous, I mean, I have no problem laughing. People that know me well enough, they know I do that and so forth. So I'm not saying that humor is bad. Sometimes it's a good medicine to cheer up a discouraged person. But I think you understand what I mean. That this world is offering a bunch of fun and games. The Word of God is being very, very solemnly preached. They have given a half an hour for the preaching of the Word of God, and the rest of it is banging around on drums and steel guitar, electric guitars, making people to get up and clap their hands. I was in a service once where that happened. It was a healing service, and they asked me to come and visit the church, and here they were. I tell you, you'd think these people, they took David literally, you know, dancing for the Lord, and they were dancing all for the Lord all over. I sat there, you know, maybe I'm a little more conservative-minded, and I sat there watching this whole thing, and before I was married, I think, wow, either they have the joy of the Lord or they're doing something that is not right. And so I watched it more and more, and I thought, this is not right. And it was like the Spirit of the Lord was telling me that this is not of God. I started questioning, why not? Well, guess what? The most dramatic people in that worship service, when I walked outside, I saw them there lighting a cigarette and having a normal conversation. And I thought, oh, and as a young Christian, yeah, I was single, I was 21 years old, I thought to myself, wow, I don't think that mixes. That just doesn't mix. But they were having lots of fun inside, and they were in the Spirit of the Lord, and yelling in tongues, and not the tongues of the Lord, though. That was very evident. So this is what we're in. This is the soup that we're in today. Very few churches have vibrancy, zeal, godliness, and are upholding it. Let's read further. Now let's listen to verse 3. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now notice this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is what we're in. You know, I have a hard time understanding this. And when I first came to Pennsylvania, I was blown away by this. That I saw a horse and buggy driving down the road. And a young man was on it. And in the back had his big boombox. I couldn't believe it. I thought, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know what? God doesn't need a boombox to make a noise. I preached in Jamaica for many a month without a sound system. And my voice traveled a good distance. You just need a brother that can clear his throat and be able to preach, and it just carries on. And I'm not against microphones. Don't take that one. I have one on right here. You can see that. So, I like this one better than the one that they have in some church where they come like this. You know, those are uncomfortable. Those I'm against. These are good. But the times that we are living in is a very dangerous time. very dangerous. Paul says here to young Timothy, he thought this was going to happen in his lifetime, and it did. I believe it did. He says to young Timothy, he says this, let's read verse 5 again, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Just because someone has a form and outward appearance of godliness, that does not mean that they have the power of God inside. And you need to discern that. If their heart is going after the things of this world, though they are riding a horse and buggy, though they are dressed properly, and you find out that their conversation, their conduct, really is by the world and with the world, you need to turn away from them. And you need to go to those people that have a heart after God, and they want to live for God, and they call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And their conversation is that of God, and of His work, of His righteousness, of His coming kingdom. You need to find friendship with those, because in these difficult times, those are the people that will best be there to aid you along your troubles. Those other ones, they're drawn away with the world, and that's all they care about. But those that have a heart after God are like soldiers that will come and pick you up if you fall, and they'll help you along. Because they have a command from the commander to do so. And they love the commander and they will pick you up. I remember many a time, because I resorted to God's people and when I was single. I remember going back to my testimony a little bit when my father kicked me out of the house. I remember the first thing I did. I went to a brother's house and I drove there. He was just down the road from us. And I remember I was in tears. I was weeping. I was broken. And he opened the door, and his wife opened the door, and she looked at me, and I saw in her eyes and her heart that if I wouldn't have been a male, she would have loved to come and just hug me and just help me through her sorrows. But she called her husband in right away, and he just come and he just, you know, gave me a big bear hug and led me in, and before you knew it, all the brothers were called, and they came, and we got on our knees and we prayed and they laid hands and we just sought the Lord there, and they encouraged and comforted. I learned to appreciate and value God's people that way. And that's what you need to do as well. Because God's people, real God's people, they are there for you. And they will make attempts. Yeah, they will fail you. But they're going to do everything they can to help you. Cling to those types of people as we are journeying through this time, through this wicked, wicked time. A form of godliness is not good enough. They must have the power within. When I read my Bible, it seems to me that there is yet a day coming that we have never seen yet. We have people say we are living in terrible times. And all of you likely by now would acknowledge that. From what Brother Mo shared last night and to what I have shared throughout the week, you'd all say, yeah, that's exactly right. We're living in terrible times. But yet there's a day coming that when I read my Bible, I find is yet to come that we have not experienced. I don't know if I'm going to be there. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be 25 years down the road. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be 10 years. But I will tell you that if you don't fix your mind now and carry that burden upon your heart, that you're going to stay faithful through these times, your children will not have something to look up to. Because they might experience this day, and they're going to need examples of faithfulness, of purpose. They're going to need examples. And so we want to look ahead a little bit of times that are going to come yet that we have not seen. And it's scary, it really is. If I read it and I don't read what's after it, I would tremble. But I praise the Lord that God did not stop there. He told us the end of the story. That's a beautiful thing. You read the end of the story. Don't ever, if you're going to read something, don't ever stop. If it's a good book, don't ever stop in the middle. Make sure you finish the story. I always enjoy that. And like I said, God, from the beginning of time to the end of time, has always been faithful to His people. And guess what? He will be faithful at that time too. We are in the time that the Spirit spoke expressly of. that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We see on a general scope of things, we see the modern Christian church is departing from the faith. And we see on a very practical scope, individuals, people that we once thought were strong and vibrant for the Lord, they're departing from the faith. They're going away from everything that has to do with the faith. And these are the times the Spirit spoke expressly of, Paul said, that there's going to come a time where people are going to depart from the faith. Like Jude said, we must earnestly contend for the faith. We must earnestly contend for the faith because people are not contending anymore. They're not striving anymore in modern churches today. They're letting go and letting loose. And they're embracing everything that comes in. I have a piece of paper here that I carry in my wallet. I will dare myself to read it to you just to give you a little bit of a graphic picture of where the ministerial is at in our churches today. There was a study done in, I think here in the United States, I think by a group, it's called A Friendly Messenger from xxxchurch.com. And it's entitled Pastors. And they did a study on evangelical pastors and where they are at today. I wasn't quite sure if I should read it to you or not, but since the subject pressed me so much to speak on this, I thought it might be good for you to see the reality where the ministerial is at generally in our country or countries. Listen to this. 57% of pastors call pornography the most sexual damaging issue for their congregation. That's where we're at today. 53% of Christian men consume pornography. 37% of pastors say it's a current struggle. 53% of pastors have visited porn sites in the last year. These are our leaders. 30% of pastors do not talk to anyone about their dirty secrets. 4 out of 10 pastors look daily at these websites. 18% of pastors look at these websites a couple times a month. 51% of pastors say it's a great temptation for them. And 69% of pastors start looking at these things just out of curiosity. Then they get hooked. These are the men that lead our churches today on a general level. We young people need to be very careful what we do. Very careful. It's not a little thing to toy with those things out there. It's not a little thing. You have to be careful. Yes, I believe we are in the time frame, and yet I see another day coming like we have not seen. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Brother Mose talked a little bit about it yesterday. I'm thankful he didn't spend too much time there. He just spoke about the promise that we have there, so that's good. I don't think we'll read the whole chapter. I'm going to break it up a little bit to first to see, have you see the seriousness of what we're entering into, and then the blessing at the end if I have enough time. If I just came up here and shared a bunch of things that thrilled your heart and stuff like that, that might be a good thing. But we desire is that you young men and women would go fully knowledged and equipped out of here to face the times that we're heading into. I think what Brother David said, he said repetition is the mother of learning. And so, yeah, I've been repeating myself quite a bit and so forth because I want you to learn these things and have them upon your heart. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7, starting verse 19. This is talking about the four beasts coming out of the sea. And Daniel is kind of troubled, and he wants to know what's this all about. And the interpreter says these are four kingdoms, four kings that stand up and that rule the world and so forth. And he wants to know a little bit more about the one, the last one. Verse 19 says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came out, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stunned than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." That's the first portion we'll look at. Here we see that this last horn prevailed, made war with the saints and prevailed. We have not seen that yet, to my understanding, and Moses confirmed that the other day with me, that we have not seen that. That is yet to come. Now, he might be able to tell you if you're going to face it or not. You might have to ask him later on. I don't know. But one thing I do know, that someone down the line is going to be in this time zone. Some have said, well, the Christians are going to be raptured up. Well, it doesn't say that here. It just says the saints are going to, the saints right there. The saints are right there. So I don't know how else to interpret it, but there's someone's going to be there. So we're entering into a time zone yet to come that we see that this world, this kingdom, is prevailing against the saints. You see a war happening. They're not turning on the Muslims. They're not turning on Buddha. They're not turning on those things. They're turning against the saints. And later on it says, against the saints of the Most High God. Meaning, as a strong confirmation to me, that could be me and you. It's not talking about a loose Christian. I believe this is going to be a time where we're going to have a clear black and white. And if you're not firm in the faith, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? They're not going to be coming against you. They're going to classify you as one of them. But I tell you, they're going to make war against you if you're firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you are. You think all hell is breaking loose. What's going on? And you might have to run from here and run from there. And you never have any safety, no security. You don't know who you can buy from. You don't know who you can get food from. Because the system is against you. It's against anything to do with God. This, to me, this is a painting. This is a painting, or we could say a picture we have never seen. Where he says, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Look at Daniel chapter 7. 23-25. "And he shall speak great word," this is that little horn, "against the Most High," so it's not just against us, it's against the Most High, "and shall weary," or shall wear out "the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit." Oh, yeah, that's as far as I want to read there. But here we see that this horn is now, he is speaking great things against God. And that is, there's already a lot of that happening. I won't doubt that. But this is going to be such a war against the Most High and against the saints of the Most High, that we're going to see that there's going to be a great war and the saints are going to be overcome. That's what Revelation says to us. It says that the saints actually will be overcome. Here we see this, the little horn, speaking great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Go with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I shared a similar message back home, and I could see some of the brothers and sisters sit there, and they weren't quite quite sure what to think, and it almost seemed like a little bit of fear came up, and am I going to be able to stand during that time and so forth? And well, I had good news coming, I told them, and I got good news for you too yet, so just hang in there, don't be too fearful. Revelation chapter 13, starting verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ears, have an ear, let him hear. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Those that are not written in the Lamb's book of life will worship him. I trust you sitting here, you know that your name is written there. Because I will tell you a little bit that if your name is written there, you're going to get all the grace to be able to endure to the end. God will give you all the grace to endure through this time. But your name needs to be written there for him to pour the oil of grace upon you continually. But if you're not written there, it doesn't matter if you have a form of godliness or not. You can say lots of Lord, Lords, and I've done this and I've done that, but if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, grace is not there for you. So here we see, he overcomes the saints. Power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We see a war happening between the saints and between this little horn, and we see that he prevails. That's the negative time that is yet to come. And it looks very dark. It looks like it's very fierce, and it is. It's not going to be a smooth ride. But to every story, there seems to be a flip side. We see a positive side. To those that hold on, to those that earnestly contend for the faith, to those that diligently fight, there seems to be a positive. There seems to be an encouragement at the end of the tunnel. God did not just say, okay, I want you to fight through this time and then we'll see what happens next. At the end of this time, something beautiful for the saints comes. And we see another positive thing happen for us as Christians. Go with me to Daniel, back to Daniel chapter 7. It seems to me that this is like a hopeless case. We can't do anything. He's prevailed. He's overcome us. And here we are laying down and he's on top of us. And he's just really trying to suck the life out of us. And then all of a sudden something happens. While this is going on, the saints are losing. They're overcome. Look at verse 9 with me in Daniel chapter 7. When I first read this and I understood what I was talking about, I had to stop and just think and just bless the Lord. Because it looked pretty drearysome. Verse 9 says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. What do you think of that one? Here we see the oppression of the saints. They're being oppressed by this horn, by this king. They're being oppressed and they're losing. They're overcome. And then all of a sudden, God sits down on his throne. He sits down on his throne. And listen to what it describes him to be. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Anyone remember a message that we heard a little bit, something like this too? Brother David Cooper's message on this wheel of fire and so forth reminds me a little bit of that. Here we see God, the Ancient of Days, someone that has no time, no beginning, no end, and will never have. He's got no creator. He knows all, sees all. This is the Ancient of Days, the one that has always lived and never will die. He comes and he sits on his throne. He sees that this is terrible. This is what's happening here, and he sits down on his throne. The judgment has come. I beheld till the throne was cast down. Whose throne? This little horn. The judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Notice how it says what they're going to do to him. The judgment shall sit, they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Get you to turn your Bibles a little bit this morning. I hope you read your Bibles this morning. Hope you don't have cold pages. Actually, no, that's not the scripture I want. Sorry, that's not the scripture I wanted you to turn to. We'll stay in Daniel. Just go back to Daniel for me, please. Sorry, get you really used to your Bibles this morning. But this is what I want to say about Revelations. We are told there's going to be a war between the faithful one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, against the kings, captains, and mighty men. And in that battle, we see the beast and the false prophet are taken and cast alive into the lake of fire, which burneth with brimstone. We see the battle there, and we see the false prophet and the beast taken. Judgment was come. The Ancient of Days had come, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. When the saints need him most, there he was. Notice that. When the saints need him most, there he was. The Bible says the horn had made war with the saints and prevailed against them, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. He that holds on, he that overcomes, he that is faithful will receive the prize. He that runs to the end, he that holds the faith, will win. At the end, will win. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. We'll stay there. Verse 22. Here we see the judgment has come. And now we see something God doing for his saints. Verse 22 says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Notice that they possessed the kingdom. God gives them a kingdom, the saints of the Most High. Revelations chapter 3 now. Now you get to go there. Chapter 3. I don't know if you read that verse there in Revelation chapter, or you saw the verse there in Revelation chapter 3 when we read it there, but I was hoping you're going to mark it in your mind there, but I'm going to try to bring it to your attention now. Verse 21. So here we are. We're in a dangerous time. We've got dangerous times to come. Judgment has come. God has taken the dominion away from this king and has handed the judgment over to the saints, but he also hands over a kingdom to the saints. Listen to verse 21 of chapter 3. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Want to do that to your heart? Does that give you encouragement to press forward? That if you are going to be faithful to the end, and you're going to overcome all these obstacles that are in your way, and you're going to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ with everything you've got, through the eyes of faith, there's something at the end of the tunnel that God gives to you, a kingdom. It ought to bring great comfort to our soul And of course, I know everyone would say the most beautiful thing in the kingdom is going to be is Christ Jesus. And yes, that is. But God wants to give us other things as well. Christ will grant us to sit in His throne. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The saints possess the kingdom. Back to Daniel chapter 7. I've been reading Daniel chapter 7 so much in the last month that my Bible automatically just goes there. Goes to chapter 7. Look with me at Daniel chapter 7 verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. So the saints possess the kingdom of the Most High. You are a possessor of the kingdom of the Most High. So we have in history two events that need to happen yet. We see a very dreadful, a very dreary one. And you can go into reality on Monday and you can say, well, it's very cloudy. It's very, doesn't look very bright for us. And that might be very true. Or you can look at it this way. I'm going into a dark world to be the light. I'm going to be the light of this dark world, and I'm going to try to pull as many people as I can on the same road that I am. See, the Bible says you are the light of the Lord. And you are light. And so we as Christians need to go into this dark world that is chaotic, that is going everything against God, and wants nothing to do with God. We as Christians need to go into this world and shine that people can see that the path that they are on is not right. That judgment will be their end, and it's a bad judgment. It's not like what I heard some rock singers say, that oh, hell is just going to be a nice big party. The only thing that's going to be there in hell that's going to be anything like a party is going to be a lot of screaming. I've been at a party, gone to many of them, and that's the worst thing I think I ever did is to go to those. But here you have an opportunity to take souls off of the dark path and put them on light, that they would see light and walk that way. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jude. I've shared some of this already today with you, but in closing thoughts here, I just want to share this. I want to spur you on. I want to exhort you to be faithful and diligent in this as we are entering into uncertain times. I want you to go into life knowing that you can make a difference, maybe not for the world, but for one soul, because of your steadfastness to Christ. Verse 3 of Jude. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. Hold firm. Strive to hold on to this faith that was once delivered unto us by the apostles and has been passed down through generations. The pure faith. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that circumpasses that whole thing. Hold on to that. Earnestly with all your heart. Hold on to it. I'd like to tell you how you can hold on to it. Or how you need to earnestly contend for it. I think Jude gives us the answer. Because he says, earnestly contend for the faith. And then he goes on about this false prophet that came into the church. And after discussing with us the false prophet and what he looked like, he says this, verse 19. But ye, beloved, Beloved, and this morning I want to say beloved. Beloved sister and beloved brother. You. Build yourself. Build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice, already in one verse we've had two holy things. Holy faith and praying to a Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Earnestly contend for the faith by building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Are you going to be one that is going to build yourself up in everything that Christianity has? Everything the Bible says, are you going to be firm, rooted, and grounded in these things? And as you are rooted and grounded in these things, you're going to be pulling other souls out of the fire. Hating the garments that are spotted by the flesh. Moving forward continually. Are you going to be one of those that when these times come of uncertainty, times where you'll see other Christians getting their head chopped off, in Revelations, it says there was people on the altar and they said, "Oh Lord, how long shall you avenge us?" What did the Lord say? Not until your brethren have gotten their heads chopped off just like you did. Yeah, you might see Christians getting their heads chopped off, getting pulled into prison. Yeah, it could very well happen. I've heard prophets, several of them, they say it's right at our doorstep. 25 years down the road, 50 years down the road, and some of you are going to be alive during that time. But how are we going to make it? Is if we earnestly contend for the faith. Then when it's the most hardest time, then we look up and we see that the Ancient of Days is coming to the rescue. The Ancient of Days comes on the scene and He's there for His people. You might say, "Well, Brother Corny, that sounds pretty harsh. That's not what I expected of the Christian life." I'm going to offer you ease and pleasure then. But I'm going to offer the end of the story too. Do you want to hear it? You can go out of these doors. You can indulge yourself. And you can forget about everything of God and everything you learned. You can go out of these doors and just live it up and live another 30, 40 years and sear your conscience. Push it all away. You come to the age of 70 and 80. And you can just look back and say, "Well, I really had an enjoyable life." And then comes the end of the story. God's going to say, "You fool. You fool. Now you have an eternity in the lake of fire." The suffering that we are going through cannot be compared to the eternal glory we have to come. Dear people, understand that. This little bit of suffering, even getting your heads chopped off, your tongue screwed out, your eyes poked out, your ears ripped from end to end, this suffering is not to be compared to the glory that we will receive. We have an inheritance to receive. God told me I have it by faith, and so I'm going to go through this life and I'm going to claim that inheritance. Will you do the same thing? Will you go to the end and claim your inheritance? Will you be that faithful son and daughter that will not disappoint the Father and grab a hold of the inheritance and receive that wonderful welcome? Oh, look it through the eyes of our God and all that He has stored up for you when life is done, when time is no more. Look what He has stored up for you. It is glorious. Do a Bible study on it and learn, and you will learn to be grateful, and you say, well, I can go through any trial and any persecution and any trouble. Oh, I remember when my deepest sorrows came and I was in my woes, and then God showed me that the little bit that you're going through is just really, is really nothing compared to what I have over there. And I felt so bad. I had to do some repenting. And if your problems are bigger, if you think your problems are bigger than God can handle, well then your view of God is wrong. And then I think you need to go back to some of Brother David's messages. Who can describe God accurately and live? The Bible says you can't see Him and live. With that, I'd like to read this song to you. It's written by John Wesley. It's titled, Let Me See Thy Face and Die. To Thee, great God of love, I bow, and prostrate in Thy sight adore. By faith I see Thee passing now. I have but still, I ask for more. A glimpse of love cannot suffice. My soul for all Thy presence cries. I cannot see Thy face and live. Then let me see Thy face and die. Have that heart attitude. Next line. Moses, Thy backward parts might view, yet not a perfect sight obtain. The gospel doth Thy fullness show, to us by Thy commandment slain. The dead to sin shall find Thy grace. The pure in heart shall see Thy face. I cannot see Thy face and live. Then let me see Thy face and die. Surrendered by the saints of old, surrounded by the saints of old, we now through faith approach to Thee. Shall all with open face behold, in Christ Thy glorious deity. Shall see and put the Godhead on, the nature of Thy sinless Son. I cannot see Thy face and live. Then let me see Thy face and die. Oh, dear young people, it will be worth it after all. After all these trials and troubles. To come home. Remember, we're only passing through. But to come home. To an embrace from our Father. I want to share again my appreciation for your attentiveness. I want to share my thanks for the many encouragements I did receive, and some of you sharing with me that you're praying for me. I really didn't feel adequate, and I still don't feel adequate in coming and sharing with you, but my wife and I, we have a heart for young people, for single people, because we know what they're going through. It's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. But I tell you one thing, if you hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will make sure that you have everything you need to go through it. You're never alone, even though mom and dad are not with you, or brothers and sisters are not with you, you're still never alone. Though the church will forsake you, you're still not alone. God is there. God is still there. He is faithful. He always has been, and He always will be. You can count on Him. So again, thank you very much. I think about what Brother Mo said yesterday about people taking expensive vacations and so forth. And there's many of people that come to Niagara Falls, and they rent these big expensive motels and so forth just to come to see the falls. Well, I have good news for you. You never need to do that again. I live 10 minutes away from the falls. It's the best bed and breakfast I know. So you can freely come. We have a big house there. You're welcome there to come and see the falls and to enjoy yourself there amongst the orchards and vineyards and so forth. It's very, very beautiful there. So you are very welcome, every one of you, maybe not all at once. I don't have that big of a house. We don't even have that big of a church building to house all of you. We're actually gathering in a pig barn right now, so I'm not sure what the Lord would think of that if he actually found out the roots of it. Well, he knows the roots of it, the gathering in a pig barn. So you're all very welcome to come. Some of you have been up there already to our area. And so, again, I just want to wish you God's grace and peace that you would be able to be faithful through the difficult times. Be attentive for your next two sessions. Learn everything. I know it's Friday. It's wearisome. Be attentive. I said to Brother David the other day, I'm very thankful. At first I thought, well, maybe Brother David should be preaching in the morning and I should be preaching in the evening, and then Brother Rick could do the following, because I think somewhat Rick and I have been somewhat wandering in the same path. And so, because David brings a lot of encouraging messages and stuff like that. But I thought about it a little bit later on that, you know, I was very plain and very simple with you, I felt, and that could weigh you down a little bit. And then David comes and encourages us and lifts us up again. And then, you know, here comes Brother Rick. So we need that. And like Brother Rick said, it seems to be a very good mix. God seemed to have done everything that was needed. But I want to also give you an exhortation, if I may. I got one second yet. So I'll give you one more encouragement. Be a student of the Bible. Be a Berean and search these things. I'm not saying I am good at eschatology and so forth. And you might have sat there and said, well, he's off here and he's off here and he's off here. I'm learning. You do the same. Be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, that you can give every man according to what they ask of the hope that lies within you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.